So wonderful to greet one another. It's always something we should never take for granted, another day of life, chance to be together in God's house. We're so glad for anyone that is visiting us for the first time or watching online for the first time. We warmly want to welcome you. And I just have one question before we begin. Today we're titling our service Community Life Sunday, a little bit of a theme as we think about the importance of community, and we'll be inviting some key leaders up here to do a little Q&A with me and things like that. But all I want to ask is that dunk tank water heated or not? Because if I'm getting in there, I saw from the back, if I'm getting in there and Pastor Theo, I just want to know, because it was mighty cold last night and I'm assuming it was pre-filled. So I'll do it for Jesus, but still, I'm just wondering, has it been warmed? That's my thing I'm going to be thinking about throughout the sermon. All right, Ephesians 3, as we think about community life, and I've titled this message, Better Together, Ephesians 3. I'll put that on the screen for you. Starting in the second half of verse 17, the Apostle Paul says this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together, with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." This is God's word. This morning we want to think about what it means to experience biblical community, to experience community life, especially through the local church. And I believe that, especially in our times and in our nation, in the culture in which we live in, we have a lot of challenges to experiencing a life, a communal kind of life that God has always intended for us to experience from the very beginning of time. Coming across this pointed article by Jack Meador in The Atlantic, he says this, "The problem in front of us is not that we have a healthy, sustainable society that doesn't have room for church. The problem is that many Americans have adopted a way of life that has left us lonely, anxious, and uncertain of how to live in community with other people." The heartbeat of our nation and culture, this radical, rugged independence. And after what we've been through together in these past couple of years, everyone has kind of retreated to their own safety zones, and we've been profoundly disconnected. And yet, as we are thinking about community life together, we are fighting against the culture of our own country. And that Americans, you may not fully agree with what he's saying, but I think he makes a valid point that we have adopted a way of life as Americans that often leads us to being lonely and being anxious and living in uncertainty. And so a few things I just want us to think about before we invite two of our key leaders up and have a little conversation up here. And trying to answer this question, why are we better together? What alternative does the Bible talk about? Does Jesus represent the Christian faith? Why can't we just find our own nooks and crannies of friends and our own hobbies and things that will connect us with others? And those are great things, and many of us are part of things that we feel connected. But what does the Bible have to say? And how are we to properly understand this community life as a better alternative? Why are we better together? First of all, I believe that it's the best way to combat spiritual loneliness. And when I say spiritual loneliness, I'm trying to use this term not in a way that divides our humanity between mind, body, and soul, or however you want to take us apart, deconstruct us as people, as human beings. But when I say spiritual loneliness, I'm really talking about an integrated existence. I believe that our mind, our body, our soul, we're really interconnected as one person. And so if you were to, for whatever reason, not be part of the local church for, say, 3 years, what would you miss the most? What would you miss the most if you, for some reason, could not or did not want to or whatever, could not come for 3 years? Would it be our outstanding coffee? We have outstanding coffee. I know I would certainly miss it. Would it be those cozy sanctuary chairs that you're sitting in right now? Maybe. Or would it be a drive down our long, lovely driveway in this bucolic scene of pasture and our neighbors with the horses next door and seeing the church steeple on the cross? Would you miss it? What would you miss if you could not attend and be part of church for 3 years? Well, ironically, a young man named Luke Helm just a few weeks ago wrote an article by which prompted me to this point that he wrote, "I skipped church for 3 years." And he wanted to share what his experience was like in the Christianity Today article, August 30th of this year. And as he reflected, here's a young man that went to Christian school, was involved in Christian ministry, both churches large and small, loved Jesus sincerely, but as they had changes in their life, they had a child, they're a younger couple, him and his wife, they had this baby, they moved in the midst of the pandemic. For some reason, all those factors contributed to skipping out on church for 3 years. And as he reflected on this experience, being a devoted Christ follower, a Christian by every means that we would consider what is a Christian, he wrote that if I'm really honest, one reason stands out. The further I get from church, the less Christian faith makes sense to me. And this really stood out. Listen to this. The physical drift begets an intellectual one. The longer you are away from the life of the community of the body of Jesus Christ, he began to reflect on the impact that made, even though they were doing family devotions, they were watching online different services. The further he was away from church and that community life, the less Christian faith began to make sense. The physical drift begets an intellectual one. Because our mind, body, soul, it's all integrated as one, when physically you are away, it begins to impact your intellect, your heart, your soul. And he said that it was the strength of togetherness as he found a tiny little local church that preached the word of God, that worshiped with the saints, that sang the hymns, had community suppers, had small group Bible studies. And as they began to get re-engaged, thus writing this article, the strength of togetherness is one of the things I've noticed most about being back in church after 3 years. These days, my faith feels less like a running tally of facts and more like a light switch that has been turned back on. I believe that no matter how we live our lives and run around busy, filling with all sorts of activities and family responsibilities and career building and enjoying your retirement years, spending time with grandchildren, whatever it might be, there is a profound sense of loneliness that was never meant to be from the beginning when God created us. And I believe that this life of community in the body of Jesus Christ was meant for us to experience one another in such a way that we would combat our deep spiritual loneliness. And there's nothing wrong with that, even if that is the primary motivation why we show up. God has designed us not to experience that loneliness. And I think that is one of the reasons why are we better together, so that we can fight that spiritual loneliness. But I have a few more points, so let's move on here. Number two, why are we better together? Because it's how we experience the presence and power of Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that many of us who endeavor to what we call walk with God daily, spending time on your own in prayer and encountering God's word, we need to do that personally. Some of us know it that by the famous phrase quiet times or QTs or devotions, whatever you want to call it, that's very important. But there is a special manifestation of God's Holy Spirit whenever people under the banner and name of Jesus gather together to lift up his name, that is very different than when we are just in the quiet parts of our room. And I'm not saying it's either or, it is both and. It's not a coincidence that we are called the body of Jesus Christ, that all of us are called to play some role in part by the gifts and calling and talent and stage and challenges and freedoms of life that we are in. Whether you are the hands, the feet, the eyeball, whether you are the toe, the knee, the eyebrow, the ear, whatever it might be, whatever it might be, we are called the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that it is the Holy Spirit who, once we become a follower of Jesus, he comes to live and indwell in our lives and hearts forever. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In the olden days, people would go to the sanctuary or the tabernacle to worship God. But now we bring our portable sanctuaries together to the house of God. And when we do that together in community, there is a special power and presence that is manifested as we gather together in one body, in one community. It is sparked as we begin to focus and lift up the name of Jesus. When we are together, I'm able in a physical and tangible way to see people in whom the Spirit of Jesus lives in and moves in and works in both word and in deed. We can get up and shake hands and hug each other and pray for each other and feed one another and dunk tanks together or whatever it might be. It both in word and deed. When we aren't together, we miss out. No matter how strong you are, no matter what kind of titles and positions and responsibility you've held in the past, we miss out. We are negatively impacted when we miss out on the experience of what it is like when we experience the power and presence of Jesus Christ together as the body of him. Why are we better together? Thirdly, because it provides accountability and encouragement. Left to our own vices, left to my own vices, we will always have a tendency to live solitary and disconnected lives on little islands. And I'm going to make a confession here, and I've shared this before. I am a lazy bum by nature. You laugh, but so are many of you. It doesn't mean that we're not busy, right? We're all busy doing stuff, but we often don't do the important things when we need to do it right away. And because I'm a lazy bum by nature, I would love to just veg out all day and just do my own thing. When I see you all living out your faith and convictions, when I see many of you serving and loving each other, it stokes a fire in me. Because we've been called to serve one another. There's so many times where I don't feel like showing up, getting involved, and serving. Because often it's not convenient for me. I'm in my veg mode. I just want to chill. I don't want to be bothered. I want to be comfortable. I got lots of things going on in my life. But it is that togetherness of life in the community that calls us to pursue one another and be challenged with one another. And when we have even our board meetings monthly, our leaders meeting, classes, small groups, on Sunday mornings like this, I see people. I know that they have had to say no to certain things to say yes to be here and be part of those gatherings. I see their commitment. I see their love for the local church. I see their love for Jesus Christ himself. And it blesses me. It challenges me. It keeps me going. And it keeps me accountable in my own pursuit of God and his passion for people. The great secret about this connected life of community and why are we better together is that in reality, we are not the captains of our own souls. We need to put ourselves in places and situations and in responsibilities of commitment where you have to show up. Since being in the wee eighth grade, that goes back a ways for myself, in eighth grade until now, I've always put myself in a place where I have to serve, I have to show up, I have to do something, because in that responsibility, it forces me to have an accountability that is set in place that I desperately need in my life. Because normally, as many of you as well, will drift toward isolation, loneliness, self-destruction. We are lost sheep, and we're very good at it. Some of you know that I'm friends with a group of pastors and missionaries that I've known some since I was even before preschool. Some I got to know in this group from college, and some in high school as well. We used to party together, and now we serve Jesus together. And this year, as we have made it an annual tradition to meet, to do a retreat together, we are meeting in Connecticut. And I'm so excited to see them fly into Bradley. And we've rented a home near the shoreline in New London. And I've asked one of those guys, who was the guy that introduced me to Kathy. And we got married. And he said, if you get married, you better name one of your children after me. And I didn't. His name is Steve. But he has graciously volunteered to stay and preach the following Sunday, I believe first Sunday of November, and it's going to be fantastic. He walked with me during the time when I was sensing God's call to become a pastor and really helped guide me with wisdom. And it's going to be awesome. I share this because we had a meeting scheduled for this week, and I did everything possible to get out of it. A Zoom call. I had so much going on. I've been away for the summer. We gotta hit the ground running. Then one by one, my friends, who are some of the busiest guys in the world that I know, I'll be on. I'll show up. I'll be there. Wouldn't miss it for the world. And finally, I'm the last one. Of course I'm going to be there. And I didn't want to be there. It's always like that, is it not? And whenever we show up, what a tremendous time to be encouraged and pushed and held accountable and keep on serving Jesus in our lives. It was an awesome gathering. I wish it was less than 3 hours. It went a long time, but it was awesome once we started to share, open up, pray, and encourage each other. That's why we are better together. Two more things before we invite our key leaders up here. Why are we better together? Because it's how we grow and how we develop in our faith and humanity. Jake Meador, in that article in The Atlantic, said this. This is, I think, spot on. Contemporary America, he writes, isn't set up to promote mutuality, care, or common life. Rather, it is designed to maximize individual accomplishment as defined by professional and financial success. Such a system leaves precious little time or energy for forms of community that don't contribute to one's own professional life, and as one ages, the professional prospects of one's children. Workism reigns in America, and because of it, community in America, religious community included, is a math problem that doesn't add up. Our humanity, this imago Dei, the image of God, is more than just dollar signs and the accompanying accoutrements of success. We develop and grow ultimately as human beings, designed, called, saved, and redeemed for the purposes of God. Not by, as our culture often says, living our best lives by being the best versions of ourselves, but by knowing the plans and purposes of God to which He has created and called us to be. And we do that best when we do it in community. Fifthly and finally, why are we better together? Because it reflects the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. He is our head. He is not only our Savior that died for us on the cross, but He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the head of the church, which means He is the final authority. And when He tells us in His word that we are to live as a community, a city on a hill, we are the light of the world, we will surrender and obey. We all know and love the song, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender." Oh, should I keep going? "I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all." The worship team need any help? I love to sing it. Oh my gosh. We sing a song like this with hands raised and tears flowing and eyes closed. "I surrender all to Jesus." But we get upset when the service goes an extra 5 minutes because it's my precious time. Right? We get upset when finances are talked about at church because it's my money. We're asked to volunteer or serve rather than giving up the first fruits of our time and energy of life, work, and family. We see what we have left over in the tank and we tip God what is due Him. And then we go back all to Jesus. I surrender all. The big question is, do we really value one another? Do we value the local church? Do we treasure life together? Do we value the kingdom of God? Do we value Jesus? I was so convicted as I get ready to wrap up my time here by an article by Micah Anglo, who wrote "How Skipping Church Impacts Us." Let me read a few sentences and put the core of what I wanted to share on the screen. "The church is losing its young people because the parents have never taught their children that it was important. If the sun shines out and their friends are going to the beach, do you decide to skip church and go to the beach? In which case, you send signals to your children. It's not really that important. Parents make choices all the time for their families. As they decide on what takes priority in family, every choice is carefully observed and taken into the heart of their children. Yes, they are watching you, and they are learning from you." And he goes on to say, "Maybe the reason why our children have no love for Christ is due to the fact that we as parents do not show any love or passion for Christ as evidence by how we prioritize our time, both on Sundays and during the work week. When television, sports, schools, hobbies, even family itself are elevated to the place of idolatry and replace the vital Christian responsibilities, then we tell our children that Christ is secondary to all these things. We tell our children it is not necessary to take up your cross and die to yourself daily in order to follow Jesus. We tell them that you only have to live for Christ when it's convenient for you. We tell them it's okay to sacrifice time with an all-satisfying Savior if something more fun or more important, if he isn't a priority in our lives, then our children will know and will follow suit. This is not a condemnation on any of you, but it speaks to Kathy and I as well in our challenges of parenting our own three kids, along with so many of you and your grandchildren as well. And so I want to wrap up as we have shared five reasons why we are better together. And as we do that, I'd like to invite Len Smith and Paul Shackleton up here, our two key leaders of small groups and discipleship, to have a brief conversation. It's the best way to combat spiritual loneliness. Secondly, it's how we experience the presence and the power of Jesus Christ when we're together. It provides accountability and encouragement like no other. It's how we grow and develop our faith and humanity, and it reflects really an understanding of the lordship of Jesus in our lives. And so those are five reasons I wanted to share with you all this morning of why it is true that when we are together, we indeed are better.